Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the show as we get you set for baseball. The Pirates taking on the Reds here at PNC Park, looking to take 3 out of 4 from Cincinnati here this afternoon. And Ben, first of all, glad to see you here in person again. Been on the road and, nice. A little bit. Yeah,
it is nice to be here in the studio in person with you, Joe.
Yes, and great to have the dignitaries here yesterday, yourself included, at the Hall of Fame ceremony. What a wonderful engagement that is, the third annual now for the Pirates. And why do you think that's important for the current Pirates players? And what do you get out of it personally, being able to be a part of that event?
Well, I guess I can answer myself more easily, obviously. Anybody who is a baseball fan, and I am definitely one, like way before I ever did this job, you can't not love that kind of thing, right? Like, you know, first of all, you have a chance to, and I'm lucky enough to have a chance to actually shake their hands and be there with them in person, and that's a blessing to be able to do that, to be able to say something to these people that have meant so much to the game and hear what they're saying. But also just brings your mind back to the memories that we have and I've had as a fan growing up, and remember, you know, all those great teams that Leland managed, and seeing him sneak a cigarette down the, you know, things like that, that just brings you back to those moments of joy watching the game as a fan and following the game as a fan and growing up that way. And certainly, I mean, Barry was doing the things that he was doing. Obviously, he was an incredible player with the Pirates, and that was sort of that was happening, you know, before I worked in baseball. And then a little bit of what he did in San Francisco, certainly, which was just so, like, indescribable, happened while I was working in baseball. And so, and at a time when, you know, I started to sort of understand, like, wow, 500 on base percentage? We talk about, you know, we're excited when we're seeing, like, 330. And we know how good 400 on base percentage is. He was rolling out 500 on base percentages. He was, you know, there was a year where he had more than 100 intentional walks. It was just mind-boggling stuff. So, and then Manny, you know, maybe just for the Pirates, because has been such a constant here, you know, since his playing career ended. And I do remember that first spring training before we all got shut down by COVID. He was there. It was really the only time we've been able to have that group there. Manny was there, and I remember distinctly, you know, an early workout day, just sitting in one of those, you know, dugouts at Pirate City in the Cloverleaf, you know, just talking baseball and listening to him and listening to his story about, as he shared yesterday, starting the game a little bit later, as a little bit older than typical, and learning how to play, and then learning how to catch also at an advanced, like relatively advanced age, and to have the career he still had, he's just a treasure. So, yeah, a lot of fun. I think for the players, you know, obviously harder for me to answer. I'm not in their shoes. I certainly hope that for a moment anyway, when they're watching it on the field, they can connect with the game in a different way, right? They players should be focused on themselves. I mean that in a good way. I mean, they've got a hard job to do. They're trying to take full advantage of the opportunity they have. There's a short window to make a career. So they should be mostly focused on themselves and the team they're on, obviously, right now. I don't think it's fair to say, to expect a player to be an historian of the game while they're playing. It's just, there's too much going on. But hopefully for a minute they can have a chance to reflect on you know, what these men meant to the Pirates, to baseball, connect a little bit more deeply with the history of the game. I don't think they should try to do that all the time, but you know, maybe once a year it's an opportunity to do that.
Yeah, as we have the Pirates Hall of Fame annually here at PNC Park, had that yesterday, and with Barry Bonds in town, it led me to think. And again, you look back at his career; he's one of the greatest players ever to play Major League Baseball. And I think of Paul Skeens, and it's not apples to apples for sure, but he's just getting started. But and even quicker than Bonds' ascent early in his career, he's done so much. Skeens has in his rookie season, and impossible to know what the next two decades have in store. But with the Pirates being committed to inking players to long term deals, thinking about how Bonds, he wanted to go back to San Francisco. He got what he wanted, and some players want to do that. We don't know what Skeens wants to do just yet. But if he wants to be here down the road, what will the Pirates be able to do? To be able to make sure that if he wants to be here, he can be here for the long term.
Yeah, well, we got a long time to figure that out. We're obviously really fortunate that Paul's wearing a Pirates uniform. He's doing exceptionally well. I think what Paul's done is, you know, obviously the performance you can see, you know, whether you're watching it live or looking at a computer or a piece of paper, you know, you can see what the performance is. You know, I think to some degree he's turned his starts into events. And that doesn't happen too often with starting pitchers in the major leagues, and feels like that's sort of what's happened with him. And I don't look, even me and others that I work with, when we were talking about, you know, when was he going to come up and is he ready and all this stuff, we thought it'd be good. You know, we didn't anticipate exactly. You know, we have no idea way of anticipating exactly how it's going to play out. So he's handled his part of it really well. Look, I think in terms of the long term, time will tell. We've got a lot of time to figure that out. I think we, you know, our goal is to win games, win more games, win as many games as we possibly can, be in the postseason. We need guys like Paul Skeens to help us do that. And so if there's opportunity to keep them in Pittsburgh for as long as possible, of course that's going to be a priority. But we got a lot of time to figure that out. And I think with Paul, specifically with Paul, you know, he's so... he's so into where he is. We know what his connection is to the Air Force Academy, for example, and how hard it was for him to leave the Air Force Academy. Like he sort of had to. He had to because of the way the military works with professional. He was clearly going to be a professional athlete. Like that was clear while he was at the Air Force Academy. And if he was going to do that, he kind of didn't have a choice but to leave and go to another school. He just happened to pick LSU, and it worked out really well for him. But I know that was, like, really hard for him to leave Air Force. So this is a guy that is deeply in where he is and deeply engaged with the goals and the mission and the values of that place. And I certainly hope that we have an opportunity to you know, to form that kind of connection with Paul here. But right now, let's just let him be as good a pitcher as he can be, and let's focus on winning as many games as we can with him and everybody else who's here right now.
And he's a really good pitcher. We've seen. I want to talk more about Paul Skeens when we come back here on the Ben Cherington Show, getting you set for the Pirates and the Reds here in this series finale, all coming up right here on the Pirates Radio Network. The Pirates are getting set to try to take 3 out of 4 from the Reds here this afternoon at PNC Park here on the Ben Cherington Show. Joe Block with you, and we were talking Paul Skeens last segment. I was thinking about, a lot's been written this week about the workload, and Paul was quoted as saying, too, that really, in retrospect, appreciating how the Pirates handle this, the ramp-up going into this season. As a competitor, of course, no one wants to be limited, but then in retrospect, realizing the value in that, he said. And then looking forward now, Skeens is on the sheet here. He's going to pitch next on Wednesday against Chicago. So that would be on an extra day's rest, which he's been doing all season, and that kind of thing. I was thinking back at Roansy Contreras in 22, where he ended up pitching throughout the season. And I remember you wanting to emphasize that, and Derek Shelton saying the same thing. You know, hey, we want him to go through the season because he's going to pitch through seasons going forward. But then maybe the innings... maybe it was a 4-inning starter or a 3-inning start at the very end. Do you envision something similar with Paul as you go along to try to limit innings in that respect, but still having him pitch somewhat on turn like he's been doing?
Yeah, you know, we're not going to share a number, you know, because I think that's not fair to him, not fair to our team. You know, to some extent, there's some competitive advantage to not sharing numbers and things like that. We'll keep planning for it. There's a range that we don't want him to get past in 2024. And likely that means that in order to keep him active for the rest of the season and allow him to pitch for the, you know, greater majority or the entire rest of the season, that there will be some times where we, you know, either maybe keep volume a little bit shorter or give him extra day, whatever, like combination of things to try to manage that. The benefit, we believe, in staying active and continuing to pitch is that most importantly, because he's helping us win games when he does it. That's the and we have a goal to do that. And we want to win today. We want to get ready to win tomorrow, et cetera, et cetera, and on for as long as we keep playing. So that's part of it, certainly, maybe the most important part. The second thing is that it is my belief that if we think about, you know, what we would want Paul Skenes or any starting pitcher to be able to do over time, longer term, next year, the year after, et cetera, to be a guy that's relied upon for a full season, relied upon into October, relied upon to get deep into games and critical games late in the season in October. I don't think that happens just sort of by accident because someone's talented and you go from 0 to 100 overnight. I think it's more likely for that to happen if we build over time. It's, you know, build like you'd train for a marathon, not train for a sprint. And so, you know, I believe there's some advantage in, you know, continuing to pitch this year for him, mostly to help us win games this year, but also because in order to do what we think he can do down the road, we think pitching as much of a full season this year as possible and continue to build some volume just puts him in an even better position to do that down the road.
That makes a lot of sense. And one thing I didn't want to get away from is I was thinking about my time working in the NBA with New Orleans. Chris Paul was just coming up, and a great player. But as he was coming up, after the newness, quote-unquote, wore off, his greatness was normalized. And I'm almost feeling like that's starting to happen with Paul Skenes, where we just expect him to go out and give you 6 no-hit innings and strike out 10 guys and not walk anybody. And he's done that already, and I think that's what's so special about him. But you look at the overall numbers, he has one of the lowest earned run averages for any Pirates starting pitcher, not just rookies, ever, right now, as a rookie. And I find it extraordinary what he's doing. But I would like to, you as a baseball evaluator who's had a lot of success and a lot of years in Major League Baseball, whatever I have to say doesn't really matter compared to you, so I have the opportunity to ask you, how good is he at this stage in terms of the guys that you've been around in your career and seen?
Yeah, he's pretty good. I don't think you're making it up.
Okay.
I think it's legitimately pretty good. I don't know. Comparing it is hard. You know, I remember as a kid, growing up and being a fan, we talked about being a fan. I remember one of the first, I was a Red Sox fan growing up, so one of the first starting pitchers that I, you know, paid attention to was Roger Clemens, and happened to be a Red Sox fan when he came up as a rookie in, you know, 1983, 1984, into 86. And he was really good right away. And then, you know, what you said about normalizing it, you know, I remember that happening with Clemens. I can't remember the year, but there was a year where he, you know, was still really, really good, but, you know, maybe the, you know, people had gotten used to it, or maybe wasn't quite as good as the year before, and that fatigue can set in. So anyway, my point is I hope that with all players we can appreciate when they're that good, we can continue to appreciate it, and then that there is no fatigue that sets in. But no, I don't think I can add anything to it that hasn't already been talked about that you wouldn't know, that our fans wouldn't know and appreciate. He has been legitimately a very good starting pitcher right away in the major leagues, and it's not an easy thing to do. And when you watch him pitch, I don't think we're looking at a guy who's it's fluky. You know, it's the stuff's pretty real. He's a big, strong, physical guy, super competitor, able and willing to make adjustments even in game when needed. When he's really been at his best and, you know, has that command maybe just really where he's capable of having it, it's a real tough guy to hit.
Yeah, it's fun to even think about with Paul Skeens, who is sent next to pitch on Wednesday. Today it's going to be Luis Ortiz for the Pirates. He'll take on Nick Martinez of the Reds. Pirates going for 3 out of 4 against Cincinnati coming up in just a little bit. More with Ben Cherington right after this here on the Pirates Radio Network. We're back on the Ben Cherington Show, and Joe Block along with you as the Pirates get set to take on the Reds, looking for 3 out of 4 here in the series today. Wanted to check in on the injury front for the Pirates, and nothing more top of mind than Hunter Stratton last night, who left the ball game and had to be assisted off the field. What happened to him last night? How's he doing here today? It sounds like it's pretty serious.
It's just a tough yeah. thing. He's got a ruptured patella tendon in that knee, and he did it when he tried to brace himself or slow down as he hit the warning track going towards that ball. His season's over. He's gonna, you know, very likely need to get that operated on and go into recovery and rehab, and certainly will help him through that. But it's just a tough break for a young man who has done a really good job, has proven himself as a major league reliever this year for sure. As we know, grinded through a lot of years in the minor leagues, was never a, you know, high profile prospect or anything like that, but just continued to work hard in the minor leagues, getting a little better all the time, and earned his way to the major leagues last year, earned his way back onto the team this year, and really had done some things to suggest that, okay, he has a major league career ahead of him. And of course he still can, but you know, it's hard to see that happen to a kid like that who's worked so hard. So now we'll just have to help him heal up and get better and get him back on track next year.
Who's going to replace him on the roster today?
Brady Feigl will be added today. This is also a great story. You know, a left-hander who signed out of independent ball and came into spring training, no major league invite, and just has been really impressive, you know, since the first day of coming into spring training and throughout the season. He's been one of the really steady relievers for Indianapolis all season long, and this is his first day in the big league, so pretty exciting for Brady, hoping he gets in there. And we've got some other guys that are, you know, on the way back to other guys that might be candidates to add to the pen here over the next several days on the way back. But today was Feigl's day, and I'm really excited for him.
Yeah, that it's always fun when guys get that opportunity. How about Jared Jones? Had that very fine start the last time around with Indianapolis. Where will his next start be? Has that been determined?
We expect it to be here in the big leagues. And as is usually the case, I think once we get through this series with the Reds, Shelty will share more about the pitching lineup for the next series. So, I think we feel like he checked the boxes he needed to check in Indy, got the pitch count to a good, strong spot, and we're excited certainly to see him pitch in a Major League Pirates uniform next time out.
Now, that's good news regarding Jared Jones. How about Colin Holderman? What are his next steps on his rehab?
Yeah, I think he's gonna pitch again for Indy at least another time. We'll see how that goes. Just trying to get, I think, coming off that wrist, he's just trying to work toward getting back into a confident, comfortable spot, just in terms of how he's releasing the ball. And it's coming along, it's making progress, but I think coming out of the last outing, I think Colin felt like he needed to at least pitch at least one more time. So we'll see that. We'll just continue to assess, you know, outing by outing at this point. As soon as he feels like he's ready and confident and we're seeing the same things, then of course we'll be eager to get him back onto the team.
So that's good news, more confidence rather than health. So he's getting closer in that regard. How about Carmen Majinski, who is on a rehab assignment right now?
Pretty similar spot to Holderman. Just working back and, you know, really just getting back into a rhythm of competition, you know, execution and feel and command of the pitches, et cetera, et cetera. So, the arm strength's back, the velocity's there. You know, just gonna give him a little bit more time to sharpen up some things. But he's obviously been a really important part of our bullpen the last 2 years, and We'll be excited to see Carmen back here in the major leagues when the time's right.
And Nick Gonzalez, he is playing at Indianapolis right now. And not only how is he doing, but also the second question is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who's playing a third base today, but can play second, short. How does Kiner-Falefa fit in with Gonzalez when he returns as well?
Yeah, so Nick's doing well. He's checking all the boxes. I think he's getting pretty close. He's done all the base running. Obviously, he's been playing games. He's playing defense. So not much more to accomplish on the rehab assignment. He is playing today. We'll see how that sort of plays out as we get into this week. Anticipate that there's a good chance we'd see him soon. And when we do, of course, the benefit, part of the reason we traded for IKF is the ability, his ability to play all three of the primary infield spots at a really high level defensively, second, short, and third. And so we'll have a group of infielders that we're going to mix, and they're all going to get opportunity and playing time. And ultimately, that'll be up to Shelty to figure out exactly how to do that. But we've got really good coverage across, and certainly anticipate Nick coming back and being an important part of that rotation.
It kind of reminds me of the middle of the previous decade Pirates that had five infielders. They're all very good, and they mixed in there quite a bit. How about for these three and your level of confidence for each that they'll return this season? And maybe it's 100%, I don't know, but I'm just going to say, because sometimes injuries late in the year, you don't know, with Hayes, McCutchen, and Ryan Borucki.
Yeah, pretty high, really, you know, pretty high. Obviously, Key is still working back, and, you know, we got a little time on that one, you know, because we've got to make sure he's feeling good before we consider, you know, ramping up the baseball activity again. And we got a little bit of time on that one. Kutch is getting close, certainly closer. You know, he's running. The knee's feeling really good. He's been hitting. So, you know, anticipate, barring something unforeseen, we're not that far away on that one. He's not eligible yet until sometime this week. I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday. So we have to get through that eligibility piece, but he's getting closer. And then Ryan, really, really encouraged. It feels like, and I think he feels like, the last little part of his rehab here, the last few outings, few mound sessions have been, he's been feeling about as good as he's felt since he went on the IL really early in the season. So, but because it's been so long, we want to make sure that he really feels that way and that we check enough boxes before we consider activation. But knock on wood, you know, we're optimistic we're getting closer on that one too. So confidence level pretty high with that group.
Well, that sounds good. As the Pirates are getting healthier and they're getting ready for the finale against the Reds today, trying to take 3 out of 4 from Cincinnati. Let's pause 10 seconds for stations to identify themselves here on the Pirates Radio Network. When we come back, we'll have one more segment of the Ben Cherington Show right after this here on the Pirates Radio Network. We're back for one final segment here on the Ben Cherington Show and then getting ready for the Pirates and the Reds here from PNC Park. And Ben, I was thinking about this. You know, I get asked from time to time, well, when are we going to see the young guys come up here? And then you hear some people want to know, the Pirates, they're going for it, right? Well, they're still going for it, even though they had the losing streak. Well, are they still going for it? So it's a kind of a slippery slope, a tough thing to weigh. The more veteran players that are up, I was thinking of Woodford. I'm thinking of Billy McKinney. We got Brady Feigl going to make his debut. He's 33. And then the younger players. But then are those younger players the best players to try to win the game today? You know, that's the balance, I guess. Where do you lie with that with 5 weeks to go in this regular season?
Yeah, look, like, young players and focusing on winning doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, right? Like, we can do both at the same time. We need to do both at the same time in Pittsburgh always. That's going to be part of winning, is embracing opportunity with young players, giving opportunity to young players, believing in young players. So no issue there. I think at this time of year, you know, it's sort of, There's a handful of factors, but two of those factors are role on a team where the roster sits. I think we want to try to avoid bringing a young player to the major leagues either for the first time or bringing a young player back to the major leagues if there isn't enough of a significant role to let that young player actually show his skills and play enough and get enough reps so that they can be their best and help the team win. If that role doesn't exist, then you know sometimes it's best for a time to stay in AAA and play all the time. So that's a factor. Roster status can be a factor. It's not an overwhelming factor, but it can be a factor. If a player is not on the 40-man yet, obviously to get them on the 40-man means taking somebody off, and we've got to balance that all the time and think about where our 40-man is and where we want it to be going into the offseason and what opportunity cost there might be by adding someone to the roster. So that's another factor. And then it's just the players themselves. We do have we have players in Indianapolis, position players in Indianapolis, who we do talk about a lot. We think about and we'll continue to have consideration of opportunity. I think in the big leagues in September, or as we get into September, we'll see how that plays out. But in the meantime, to the extent that there are guys playing in Indy and playing regularly and performing well, well, that can be a good thing too for the Pirates. So we'll see. I think focus on winning and continuing to believe in and embrace opportunity for young players, both of those things need to happen together.
Yeah, that's a good to clue us in on kind of how that all takes place. A week from today, the rosters will expand by two players. The September call-ups, not what they used to be, but still expand to 28 on the roster. I was thinking about Domingo Germán. He had a fine outing the last time around, his first start, 6 scoreless innings. And if I'm – correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that the way his service time is going to be, that he'll be under 6 years going into next season so that he could remain under team control if they so choose. So is this these final few weeks an audition for him to see if he would be included next year?
I'd almost say that the number of players, not just on the Pirates roster, but on a lot of rosters who – aren't in that category are probably like that number is smaller than the ones who are, right? Like there's lots of players here for whom performance in the next 6 weeks matters for sure in terms of just how they influence us and decisions in the offseason and going into next year. So I think a lot of players probably fit that category. But yeah, Domingo has come up and done a good job pitching different roles. He's pitched out of the bullpen, made a start, did a good job the other night in Texas. If I was betting, we'd probably see him make another start here. It's not scheduled right now. He will be available out of the bullpen, I think, starting today, and that is now that he's had enough rest coming off Wednesday and through the Cubs series, he'll be available out of the bullpen. But wouldn't be surprised if he gets another start at some point. He's obviously been a really successful major league pitcher. I think he's still working his way back from a weird last part of the season last year and off season and sort of getting back to his best form. But he's been a real pro, been fun to be around. He's done a real good job when he's been in those games since he's called him up. So look for more of the same.
Yeah, it's a lot to think about, of course, with 5 weeks to go in the regular season. Where will the Pirates finish? Where will some of the individuals be in terms of leading up into the offseason? We always appreciate your time and insight, Ben, and helping us understand what's going on. So thanks again, and talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, that's Pirates General Manager Ben Cherington. We're getting you ready for baseball here this afternoon as the Pirates have an opportunity to take 3 out of 4 games from the Cincinnati Reds. It'll be Luis Ortiz going for the Pirates today. He'll be opposed by the Reds right-hander Nick Martinez. And we'll have the pregame show for you coming up. And baseball from PNC Park, the Pirates and the Reds. Pregame show up next right here on the Pirates Radio Network presented by Iron City.